All right, good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in to Holding Fast the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn. This is Pastor Tim thanking you so much for tuning into the program this morning. It's great to have you all along. I wanted to talk about something a little bit different this morning, and this is a precursor to a more developed series on the family altar or family devotions. I have a number of families in the church, young families, and the folks are interested in doing family Bible studies or devotions. And so this has been a bit of a conversation with a number of folks over the last year. And I've been doing some research and doing a lot of reading. And we, in our home, have gone through a number of different types of catechisms and devotion. So basically for us, we start with a time of prayer. We break it up into three sections: praise, thanksgiving, and intercession. And it's between myself, my wife, and my son. So we take our part and we pray, and then we get into our catechism. And so what I did with the catechism is I went through most of the 1689 Baptist catechism, and then we covered some of the material in the Westminster Confession. Then we did the Heidelberg, and that's the one that we ended on. And then Spurgeon has a catechism as well. And then another one for kids in general. So the language is toned down a little bit. The wording's a little bit different, a little easier for them to comprehend. So we went through all of those, and we handed out a number of 1689s and some of the other ones by Spurgeon and a couple of other authors, just to kind of get a feel for how they taught. You know, was it easy for the parents to utilize the material? Did the kids receive it well? Did they understand it? Did they get something from it? And so we're kind of working on some good stuff that's applicable across a much broader spectrum of learning and age groups and so forth. And I've come across a couple of really great books, and one of which I'm going to talk a little bit about today when we get to the heart of this lesson. And that's J.C. Ryle, The Duties of Parents. But this particular one is updated in modern English. So it includes J.C. Ryle, The Duties of Parents, and the Baptist Catechism. And it's got some great material in there. I mean, I can't think of a better combination than J.C. Ryle and the Baptist Catechism in this respect. I think it's just wonderful. And I think it provides a good platform. It's a good tool to help folks kind of figure out what is your goal in having a family worship. What's the point of doing it? I think each family has its own sort of family goal or objectives in terms of spiritually speaking, and you kind of have to tailor make the lesson to go along with that. But I think in general there ought to be some components there that are consistent. And I do believe that catechizing your children is absolutely a must. We have broken homes, broken churches, and a broken society. And the only way that we're going to see any kind of recovery is if we get our homes back in order. I mean, it's really shameful. It's embarrassing, actually, when you think of the statistics for married couples that are Christians and the amount of divorces and infidelity and just broken homes and children so-called deconstructing from the faith and getting mixed up in all kinds of things. And what happened? I think that's the ultimate question. Where did it go wrong? And as I was doing the research for this, I stumbled across a number of really great websites, and one was Ligonier. And I don't have the direct quote with me, and that'll be in a future project, but they talked about the Puritans and how diligent they were in teaching their children the catechism. So if it was, you know, the Westminster, then they would certainly go through the Westminster. The kids would have to memorize it. And that would be, in some circles, qualifications for membership. You would have to memorize it. And so they were very diligent in teaching their children the catechism. They would spend 60 to 90 minutes out of the week in teaching just that to their children. I think that's important, and I think they were onto something there, and I think that is the piece that is missing in a lot of our homes. I mean, those of you that are listening to this program, how many of you have a family altar, a family devotion, where you teach your children catechism, where you're teaching them biblical doctrine. And in catechism, as you know, because some folks will default, well, that's Catholic. It's not Catholic. It's something that was very common and used by a wide range of denominational groups, Baptists, and of course, Presbyterians and Roman Catholics. And it's a way of teaching by asking questions and giving the answers. I'm going to give some examples for that at some point in this. So that's all it is. It's just reaffirming these foundational doctrinal truths that we should all know anyway. And it should be taught in such a way that it is in support of what is being taught in the church. So what the children are learning at home is being reaffirmed in what they're learning in church, doctrinally speaking. And we do have a responsibility to teach doctrine to our children. If we go back on that, if we are remiss in our responsibilities to teach our children, and then when they get older, we shouldn't be surprised that they get caught up in something that might be considered heretical or false, or abandoning the faith altogether. So there's a couple of biblical principles. Actually, there's throughout the scripture. I'm only going to cite three of them, and then we'll get into my main text. But beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them." Now note, "teach them how? Diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Fill your hearts and minds, fill your conversation with spiritual things. It's okay to talk about biblical things in the home. You should. And doctrine would certainly be one of them. Diligently. Diligently. Then we notice in Joshua chapter 24, many of you are probably familiar with this text. Most have some kind of sign or placard or maybe a bumper sticker that says it. Verse number 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So again, we see more determination there. We're going to serve the Lord. Now, contrast that with today's society, right? We see homes that are broken. We see homes that are divided. You know, maybe one of the spouses goes to church and is diligent in their religious disciplines. The children are off playing soccer or baseball. And, you know, the wife or the husband, you know, I can't say one or the other in that regard, but they're off doing their own thing. Whereas there was a time when families went to church and they went to church together and they sat together. They had a family pew that they sat in, a little box, if you will. There's a church out in Boston that has the little kind of cubicles, and those were assigned to families that worshiped in that church. Here's the thing. The contrast in Joshua, you know, the world is worshiping their false gods. You have to determine that you are going to worship the one true God. You have to determine that you are going to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and not cave into the pressure being put on you from the world. There's too much of an admixture, a blending, if you will, of the world and then Christianity. God's people made up of families, right? Why in the world would we have a divided household on things that should be obvious? We should not be entertaining or affirming things that are offensive to God, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A lot of parents today are hands off. They've thrown in the towel. They've given up. There's no fight left in them. Now, there are others that are very tenacious, and they're going to go down fighting. They're going to go down swinging because they do not want the world, this wicked, morally perverse culture teaching their children moral values. And they're going into the ring swinging, and they're coming out swinging. And you know what? My hat's off to them. These are good, godly parents that understand biblical truth, and they understand the importance of biblical sanctification and holiness. They understand the importance of teaching their children correct things from the Word of God, that the Bible is the only authority in all matters of faith and practice. And there are no exceptions to that. That is the standard. So for the world to say there are no moral absolutes, well, as Christians, we certainly believe in moral absolutes. Our God is a moral absolute, and truth is not relative. It can be known. God is truth. The Spirit is truth, and Christ is truth. And of course, this book that we read and study from, the Bible, is truth. And this is what we should be teaching our children. And we need to be doing it diligently, because if we're not teaching them, somebody else is. You know, the world likes to get sarcastic and say, oh, you're indoctrinating your children with that religion. Every time those kids go to school, a public school, they're being indoctrinated. Every time they turn on the news, every time they turn on their phone and they go to their different websites or whatever it is, Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or whatever, they're being indoctrinated. And the schools are diligent in indoctrinating your children with things that are ungodly. You have to be even more diligent than the school. And I talk to parents about this when I talk about homeschooling, and I know I get pushback on it because some homes, they just can't do it. It's a single parent situation, and they just can't do it. And I get that. But you have to be equally as diligent to make sure that your children are being provided a good, solid, biblically grounded spiritual education, and you have to be diligent about it. Now, I want to give one more scriptural example here, and this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and again, this is Paul. He's speaking to the young pastor, Timothy, and he's giving him some words of encouragement, but I like what he says here, beginning in verse number 13. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We could easily plug that into this day and age. We see evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse and worse. It's not getting any better. But notice what he says in verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So yeah, the world's going to get bad. Things are going to get worse. Morally debased. It's going to tank spiritually. But continue thou in the things that you've learned. Here's the point. The world's going to get bad. It's getting worse. We see it. We're watching it live. He doesn't give Timothy an out. He doesn't say, okay, you can conform to the world. Okay, you blend in. You can fit in. It's okay to be quiet. It's okay to go to your safe space. He says, no. You continue in the things you learned. He, as a young child, learned these things. He was taught these things. You stay on that path, Timothy. You keep promoting that sound doctrine and those sound principles of faith. You keep promoting those things. You keep living by those things. Look at what it says in verse number 15. In that from a child, we're talking about the family altar. We're talking about catechism or catechizing our children, our family. This young man was catechized. And that from a young man, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He has known the holy scriptures. How many have opened their Bibles this week and read it? How many people this week have opened their Bibles and actually read it? Let alone teaching something from the Bible to your family. This is where a lot of homes have gotten into trouble, is because they haven't read the Bible. They don't study the Bible. They don't study doctrine. They don't care. They're hands off. And then you start to scratch your head when the kids get older and they decide, you know what? We're done. We're done with religion. There's nothing of value. There's nothing there for them to anchor themselves to. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ other than a couple of quotes. And they don't understand the nature and being of Jesus Christ. They don't understand the Godhead and the sacrifice of Christ. And there's so much more that could be added to that. So the book that I spoke of earlier in this broadcast, J.C. Ryle, The Duties of Parents and the Baptist Catechism. So this is an updated version with modern language, modern English. There's probably a more detailed version that would be the original, obviously, The Duties of Parents by J.C. Ryle. This one here is a combination of J.C. Ryle's work and the Baptist Catechism. And what I really like about this is, number one, it's the Baptist Catechism. So I know the Presbyterians may not appreciate it very much, but the material in here nonetheless is still very profitable, and there aren't that many differences or significant differences between the 1689 Confession and the Westminster. I know the issue of baptism, and there are some other things, but a lot of the core doctrines, apart from those, are very much the same. When we have a family altar, and just kind of sharing a little bit about ourselves, we do that on Tuesday, and it's usually around 6:30, 7 o'clock or so, and it's usually about maybe half an hour, give or take. It depends on the discussion and so forth. As I stated, we used several catechisms, the 1689, the Heidelberg, the Westminster, Spurgeon's catechism, which you can find. It's a little booklet. It's real handy, fits right in your back pocket. You can find those at Calvary Chapel or on Calvary Chapel website. They have a lot of this kind of content, very good stuff. This book, for me, has been really good and suitable. It's 95 pages. It's easy to read. It's broken up, like I said, into two sections. And so it hit the spot, so to speak, in both content and accessibility. So it's accessible. You can read it and put together a lesson based on what you're reading in the book. So the first part obviously addresses the issue of raising your children. Why? Why do we want to do this? Why do we want to have a family altar? Why is this important for us to do this? And then, of course, the Baptist Catechism in the back. Now, for those wondering why a family altar, maybe you're new to Christianity, maybe you've never heard of anything like this. Some of you listen to this program, maybe you've never heard of this, or maybe you think, well, that's relegated to that particular denominational group. No, you all have a responsibility to teach and catechize your children and your family. You need to, you got this great opportunity before you to work with your family and teach them and show them from the Bible these important doctrinal truths. And so you should do your best to do that. Now, what are some reasons why? So let's go back to that. What are some reasons why we should have a time of devotion? Number one, we have a responsibility to teach them the basic doctrines of the faith. The basic doctrines of the faith. We've got to get back to that. There's so much confusion with soteriology. There's so much confusion with the Godhead. There's a lot of confusion that comes with the church, you know, sharing the gospel, personal holiness, our responsibilities in that regard. I think it's important to teach the doctrines of the faith. For example, when you talk about soteriology, which to me is a core issue, right, and theology proper, the study of God, when you're dealing with the doctrines of soteriology, what about justification, predestination, propitiation, sanctification, regeneration? And that's a big one, regeneration. Have you been taught that? And is that being taught to your children? It should be taught in the church, regeneration. It's a biblical word. You know, John chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Titus chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, ye hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Regeneration, the new life, new heart. Very important doctrine. I did a podcast on easy believism, and actually a radio broadcast on that as well, on easy believism, quick prayerism, and decisional regeneration, a blight on the church today. Number two, to show them from the Bible how to live according to God's will in a holy and in a sanctified way. Again, very important. Personal holiness. Is that something that is taught today? Is that something that is encouraged today? I fear that it's not. I fear that this is sanctification. That's another doctrine associated with soteriology. Is that being taught? Can we communicate that to our children? Can we show examples of Scripture or examples from Scripture that talk about sanctification, and to show our children how to pray, how to have an experiential relationship with God? Or, you know, God's a personal God. You know, we're not deists. God's a very personal God. Teach them how to enter into His presence and to have that personal one-on-one relationship with Him. So we catechize our children to teach them the basic truths of the Christian faith and living, and we reinforce and we deepen our knowledge of them. In other words, the benefit for us as parents as we catechize our children. When I spoke of the Reformation, particularly the Puritan era, you know, they understood that it was their duty to catechize their children. And nearly every Puritan pastor wrote his own catechism, and they would catechize their children. And the pastors would encourage the fathers to do just that. And so we see a shift today. So that shift has kind of moved over to the church. So the church has assumed this big responsibility to teach the children. Now, I get it. I understand. We have Sunday school. We have church services. At Bible Way, we have Wednesday night service. We have Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service. We have adult Sunday school. And then we have Sunday school for the youth. But everybody sits together during the worship service. That's the one service where everybody is together. So we do have that responsibility as a church. I get it. But a lot of parents are like, hands off. Well, that's what they get at church. No, you as a parent need to take up responsibility and teach your children at home. So the first thing we see is the Bible is our curriculum. The Bible, that's where we start. That's how we proceed. And that's how we end. We teach them the Scriptures. And as I read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, Timothy knew from a child the Holy Scriptures. So the Bible, the Word of God, should be preeminent in the home. Catechize children will give them a framework for interpreting life. In other words, it gives them a proper biblical worldview. That is the goal, to look at the world through the lenses of the Bible. And they're not going to do that effectively if they're not shown how to do it. And especially if you're in a church that doesn't emphasize the Bible, and then you're really out as far as that's concerned. You're in a bad place. The church doesn't teach and preach the Bible. It criticizes the Bible. It doesn't enforce Bible. It doesn't enforce sound doctrine. And so it carries over in the home. And then the kids get older and say, why bother following the Bible? Why read it? Why study it? It doesn't matter. It's not going to do anything. So that's the wrong attitude to have. The Bible must be preeminent in the home, in the study, and in church. And then by teaching the young ones biblical truth, you're planting seeds that someday could manifest fruits of salvation. One of your goals should be to tend after the needs of these precious souls, these children that are lost and perishing in their own sin. And so you show them the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Show them what sin is and the consequences for sin and God's grace and mercy. And then on the other side of that, show God's wrath and condemnation for those who die a Christless death. B.B. Warfield said that catechizing our children will help them to live to the glory of God. Warfield argued that learning the catechism leaves an indelible mark. Now, Riley emphasizes training up your child in the way that he should go. Proverbs 23, verse number 6. One of the main points, of course, is if you would rightly train your children, train them in the way they should go and not in the way they want. Train them in the way they should go and not in the way they want. Train your children with love. Train your children with affection. Train them by your actions and not just your words. And Riley lists 17 things that we should consider when training our children in the book that I'm referencing. And then, of course, the second half of the book includes the Baptist Catechism. And so here are some of the things that are listed in the Catechism. There's questions regarding God, questions regarding the Word of God, creation, the fall, redemption, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Supper, baptism, etc. Question and answer format. That's all that it is. Very easy to follow along, and it opens up into a lot of interesting discussion. So, for example, question one is, who is the first and most chief being? And the answer is, God is the first and most chief being. Then we get to the Word of God as question four. What is the Word of God? Answer, the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the Word of God and the only certain rule of faith and obedience. That's just a couple of questions and answers from the Baptist Catechism. All right, I have to bring it to a close, running out of time here. Take care. May the Lord bless you.